Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's great to be back again. It's great to see you all. And we're going to be talking about forgiveness today and in the story of Joseph. And, you know, this one thing here, we're called to walk in forgiveness. We're called by God to walk in forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is something we can give. Forgiveness, a little clue in the word. Something we can give, but it's also something we can receive. And we're going to think of them two elements today, and we're going to reflect on sometimes how hard it is to receive forgiveness. Sometimes it can be harder than to give forgiveness. And actually, when we see the story of the brothers, you'll just see how they struggled to really live in all that forgiveness brought them. You know, when we come to Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, we're forgiven of our sins. We're not just forgiven our sins. We're brought into the family of God, and we're sons and daughters of the Most High God and the King. And with that comes with privileges. And sometimes we're not as confident walking our privileges because we see what we was rather than what we are. And so we're going to reflect on that a little bit today. But we're going to read chapter 45 of Genesis. So it's Genesis chapter 45. And today's passage, we're going to read it. As we read it, let's take time. I'm not going to read it quite as quickly. Let's take time to reflect on Joseph and his brothers and the journey and the power of forgiveness and the change it brings. So as we read the passage, and we'll talk about the passage in a minute, but as we read the passage, let's just reflect on it. Let's just think about it. Let's just realise the enormity of what was happening in this passage and the power of forgiveness and the change forgiveness brings. So we're reading from Genesis chapter 45, and it reads like this. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Just a quick thought then. Imagine being one of those brothers when he said who he was. That would have been the shock of the life, wouldn't it? And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. They were thinking they weren't going to be forgiven. They were thinking of the consequence of their actions. And they were probably thinking, what I'd do if I was in his position. But it goes on to say this. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, and the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and the next 5 years there will be no ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you that sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says: God has made me the Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I'll provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will be destitute. you can see for yourself, and so can my brothers, my brother Benjamin, that it is a reality. That it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honour accorded to me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave provisions for the journey. To each of them he gave new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with all the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." He knew his brothers well, didn't he? "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he's the ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father revived. And Israel said, "I am convinced my son Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die." It's an amazing story, isn't it? When you reflect that, we're going to read a little bit of an extra part of the story in a minute. But I just want to, it made me ask a question when I was reading that. What made Joseph a forgiver? What actually made Joseph able to forgive? When you get to that point in the story. Because you think about Joseph's story, he got this nice, very expensive coat off his dad. His brothers ridiculed him. His brothers didn't like his dreams when he had dreams. And it wasn't unknown in that family for people to have dreams from God. You know, when you think of the family line, which you'll look at in a minute. His brothers ridiculed him. His brothers then plotted to kill him. His brothers didn't kill him, but they threw him down a well that was dry, and then they sold him as a slave. So they sold him into slavery to be taken to another country as a slave. He then was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of a sexual crime. So he was put in prison for a sexual crime that he didn't commit. Then in prison, he translates the dreams of two people who'd worked for Pharaoh. One goes back to work for Pharaoh and totally forgets about him in prison. So he's expecting to be released, and he doesn't get released at the time he's expecting release. But yet, he's able to forgive. That's quite something, isn't it? Because when I look, I can read my Bible. He didn't have the Bible. In fact, it's in the first book of the Bible. Most of the Bible hadn't happened when he's alive. And he just made me think, where did he get the strength from? Where did he get the commitment from? Where did he get the power from Where did he learn to walk in the ways that later on God will, through Moses, will give them the commandments and explain how to live? How, before all those things came, how did he know how to live? When he'd been away from his family about the similar length of time that he lived with them at this point. See, Joseph had a great love for Father God. When you see the relationship between Joseph and God throughout his life, even when he was a young man, there was something special about him. There was something different about him. His father recognized that. That he walked closely with, this is my reflection, he walked closely with God. He was able to hear God in a dream and then in another dream when he was younger. He stayed close to God. And he didn't have space for bitterness, hatred, resentment. Look at what they've done to me, I'm going to get my own back. He just didn't have space in his life for that. His life was filled with love of God and love of the ways of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. What comes next in the New Testament when that's often said? Love your neighbours as yourself, doesn't it? Is it interesting? Let's look at in Leviticus, I think it is, yeah, Leviticus 19:18. That's where this comes from in the Old Testament. But it actually says this. It actually has a little bit before love your neighbour in this. Leviticus 19:18 says this: do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as you love yourself. Because in the New Testament, it just takes the last part. We quite often don't remember the first part, if that makes sense. And I'll just read that again. It says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love the Lord, love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Before that was written, Joseph is living it out. And you think about that, that's quite amazing, isn't it? We can look at this and go, oh, I can learn from that. I've read it. He hadn't read it. He'd learnt it directly from the source of love. Because God is love. God taught him how to forgive. God taught him how to love. In those times when he was in the prison cell, he was still receiving. Being put in prison didn't break that relationship. Being sold as a slave didn't break that relationship. Going to Egypt didn't break that relationship. He stayed close to God. And there's a couple, just a reason I just want to read here as well. He had the passion for God and the things of God. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this. Deuteronomy 31:6, I'll just quickly turn to it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. You can put whoever them is in your life, of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Think about that. Think about what's happened to him. And he knew the truth before it was written. He knew the truth that in that prison cell, God was with him just as much as he was with him when he was with his family. When he was in charge of Egypt, God was with him. Wherever he was, God was with him. His circumstances didn't change the fact that God was with him and he would never leave him or forsake him. Whatever he faced with God and with the love that God has. And you think about, where did he get it from? Where did he learn to live like that? You know, who was his role models? Well, his great-grandfather was Abraham, who became Abraham. And his great-grandfather, in Genesis 15, verse 6, it says this of his great-grandfather: Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. His great-grandfather believed the Lord. He moved from one country to another believing the Lord. Joseph got moved from one country to another. But he had a role model in his great-granddad who believed the Lord when things were happening to him. And then his grandfather in Genesis 26, 23 to 25. Genesis 26. Just there. Genesis 26, 23 to 25. It says this: From there he went up to Beersheba. This is his granddad. The night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. I am with you. This is what happened to his granddad. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of Abraham. Isaac built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Then he pitched his tent and his servants dug a well. See, his great-granddad showed him, and his father had shown him. In Genesis 28, it says this about his father Jacob, and it's good to reflect on this, because how do I get to a point where I can be a forgiver and things don't stick on me and I don't resent? So Genesis 28, starting from verse 10, we're just going to read a few verses here. And this is, remember, Joseph had the dreams. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a staircase resting on the earth and the top reaching to the heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are living. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and will spread out to the west and the east, the north and the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. That's what God has said to Joseph's father. I'll be with you wherever you go. And then he goes on to say, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. See, Joseph took on the learning of his great-granddad, of his granddad, of his father, and he applied those stories he would have heard. And he applied them into his life, and he went on the journey. Joseph is learning forgiveness directly from God. He's learning how to forgive. In Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, it says this. Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, it says this: For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he moved our transgressions from us. You can't, if you keep on going east, you never end up going west. If you go west, you never end up going east. It's not like north and south. And he's saying, that far have I removed your transgressions. He is learning from Father God how to be forgiven. And he's learning how to forgive, how to accept forgiveness and how to forgive. And in Hebrews 8 verse 12, it says this, "For I have forgiven their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Think about that for a minute. He remembers their sins no more. If he remembers their sins no more, what right do I have to remember somebody else's sins, even if they've been done against me? I have no right if I'm in him. He's my role model. He's one I learn from. He walks in forgiveness. He walks in forgetfulness. Because he forgives and he forgets. So that's what I mean by he walks in forgetfulness. He doesn't remember what you've done. Once he's forgiven, he's forgotten what you've done. And Joseph, miraculously, he goes into this relationship with Father God so deeply that the point when he needs to show forgiveness, the forgiveness is already there. It's a way of life. It's something he's learned. It's something he's applied. It's something he lives by. He's had a lot done to him, but he's been forgiven a lot as well. When I look at my life, I've had a few things done to me, but guess what? I've been forgiven a lot more, I think. You know, when I tot up what I've done. But when you look at that, he walks in that. And I just want to just reflect something of the difference that makes in your life and what it allows God to do in and through you. Back in Genesis 45, which we read, verse 8, it says this, "So then, it was not you that sent me here," this is Joseph talking to his brothers, "but God, he made me a father to Pharaoh, the lord of the entire household, a ruler of Egypt." Let's unpack that verse a little minute. Joseph had been meeting with his heavenly father. He'd been learning directly from him. The Holy Spirit had been ministering into his life. What did he become? He tells us here. "So then, it's not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh." What had he become? Father. Who did he learn fatherhood from? God, his heavenly father. Because he walked in forgiveness, because he learnt from his father, he learnt how to be a father. Think about this. I just want to unpack this for a second. He wasn't just a father to his children, which he was as well. He was a father to the most powerful man on the earth at that point, Pharaoh. When you look at the food distribution, they held the food of the world, and the world came to get the food off them at this point. Joseph asks, what does it mean to be like a father? He was the one Pharaoh went to get wisdom from. He was the one Pharaoh took instruction from. He was the one Pharaoh allowed to speak directly into his life and give guidance to. Because sometimes we say, oh, he was like the Prime Minister. He was more than the Prime Minister. When you think about that, God entrusted him in that position because he knew his character. He had a heart after God's own heart. You know, we need to keep on praying for the fathers to the Pharaohs in our times. And then it's there. These people who meet with people in our office who become fathers to them. And we need to pray for that, that the leaders will hear from the fathers. It may be a father, it may be a mother, but you understand what I'm saying. That people who can speak into authority, but their life lives it out. They're not saying one thing with their mouth, but living another with their life. He goes on, he says there, he made him a father to Pharaoh. And then it says, lord of his entire household. He made him a father, he made him a lord. He can teach us how to be a lord in that sense. He made him a governor in charge of ultimate authority over the whole of Pharaoh's household. Why would Pharaoh give authority over the whole of his household to somebody who wasn't even from Egypt? Because he was like his father. And Pharaoh knew he could trust him. He was trustworthy. And then ruler of all of Egypt. So God made him a father, a lord, and a ruler. He learnt those gifts, those abilities, those ways of being directly from his father. Why? Because he learnt to forgive. If he never forgave, he couldn't have been like that. If he'd walked in bitterness, if he'd walked in upset, if he'd walked in a way that he was frustrated with people because no one treated me right, he could never have lived there. Because he gave forgiveness, God was able to show him exactly what had gone on, and it wasn't his brothers who'd sent him to Egypt, it was God who allowed him to go to Egypt. It was God who moved him around Egypt to the point when he was ready to place him in a high office in Egypt. To influence not just Pharaoh, but influencing Pharaoh, he influenced the then known world. That's an amazing story, isn't it? From sold by your brothers as a slave to being one of the most powerful, if not the second most powerful man in the whole of the world. Why? Because you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and you love your neighbour as yourself. And remembering what it says in Leviticus 19:18, the first part of that, because he remembered, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Bearing a grudge is a little bit easier, isn't it? If we're being honest with ourselves, we can bear a grudge a bit. It's true, isn't it? You can pick up a grudge. If you ever mumbled under your breath, I'm not asking the first show of hands, but I'm just being honest. You can mumble, but don't do that, because it stops you getting to where you need to be and being who you are in Him. And then it says, or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as you love yourself. And just that strong sense, that's who Joseph was. Joseph loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind and strength, and he didn't bear a grudge. He didn't hold bitterness. He loved, and look how God used him. We may never become second in charge of Egypt. I think it's probably likely none of us will become second in charge of Egypt, but you never know. But we've got to become who God's desired for us to be and to do what He's got for us to do. Remember, I think it was George who said before, you can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. It's true, isn't it? You know, when I look at my own life, I've been to some places I never thought I'd get to. I've talked to some people I never thought I'd speak to. But I have to pull myself back and go, it's not about that. Primarily, it's about my relationship with Him. It's about learning to accept I've been forgiven. We'll come on to this in a second with his brothers. I've got to learn to accept that I've been forgiven and accept the forgiveness. But then I've got to walk in forgiveness. And I've got to live in what I've been forgiven into. You can be forgiven from something. We get forgiven from sin. But in being forgiven, we get brought into the family of God. We become a son or a daughter of the Most High God, a son of the King. That makes you walk down the road with your spring in your step when you're the son of the King. Genesis 50:14-21. Is the second part of the reading I've been given. Genesis 50:14-21. And it reads like this. We should be just a few minutes in this before we finish. But this is important to really grasp how to accept forgiveness and how to live in it. Genesis 50, starting at verse 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge? They've not accepted he's forgiven them. They're still in fear of their lives. They're not living in the forgiveness in the true sense. Holds a grudge against us or pays us back for the wrongs we did him. So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions. They've made it up. Before he died, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves. Who does that remind you of? It reminds me of the prodigal son. When he's thinking of going home. And he's thinking about, if I go home, if I say I'll be your servant, may welcome me back. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? In other words, I've got no right to hold anything against you. Only God can deal with it. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me. If you do something to me, it's not between me and you. It's between you and God to get that sorted. He says to them, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Am I in the place of God? You know, his brothers were not fully living out forgiveness. Not that they weren't forgiven. They were struggling to accept they had been forgiven. I just want to reassure you this morning. If you come to Jesus Christ and you accept that he's died on the cross for you, you have been forgiven of everything. And the Father forgives and the Father then forgets. You're not under conviction. You're walking in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That's who you are. These are still walking in their own conviction of what they've done wrong. They're not walking in forgiveness. And they're expecting to be punished for what they've done. They were not living in the fullness of the forgiveness. They were not living in the grace they've been shown. Grace means the unmerited favour of God. When God forgives you, he forgives you with grace. He favours you. It's unmerited. You've not earned it. You don't have to earn it. He forgives you. Not only does he forgets. And he brings you into his family. This amazing image in the story of Joseph of this happening. But you've got to learn, not have I've been brought into a family, but where does that place me? Who am I being brought into this family of God? In Luke 15, 28, this is just a couple of verses here. Luke 15, starting at verse 28. This is a parable of the lost son. And we're going to just look at the older brother for a second. Because the older brother, is he in the family? Yeah, he's in the family, the older brother. He's in the family. The younger brother comes back and he says this. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and your possessions comes home, you kill him the fatted calf. What's he said? You never give me a young goat. So he's thinking, he's not even giving me a young goat. But what was the truth of the situation? This is what the father said. The truth was, my son, the father said, you are always with me never leaves you, never forsakes you. You are always with me. Everything I have is yours. He already had the young goat, but he'd never lived it out. In the forgiveness, in the acceptance into the family, he already had everything that the Father has, but he's never lived it out. The brothers to Joseph here in this story have the forgiveness, but they never lived out the forgiveness. They never lived who they really were as forgiven. They still lived under condemnation of themselves. And I want to encourage you, as you reflect on this story of Joseph, really to dig deep and find out who you are in Christ Jesus even more. So you can live out the fullness of who you are. You're a joint heir with Christ Jesus. That's what the Word tells us. The Word tells us there that everything he has is ours. It's good to reflect and good to think, I'm not just forgiven, and I shouldn't just forgive, but I'm not just forgiven, I'm forgiven into this family. And I have the rights of a son of the King. And this is what it means to me. Joseph lived that out. When I look at the story of Joseph, he didn't just learn how to forgive from God and God forgave him for what he'd done wrong. But he learned who he was in his father. What it truly meant to be the son of the King. What it truly meant to be in that position. He lived it out to his fullness and he excelled in his life. Let's be people who give forgiveness, but receive forgiveness. That walk in that forgiveness and walk in that fullness of who we are in and through Christ Jesus. You know, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at who we are. That brings a little smile to my face when I think of who we are, who I am. I can dust myself off and go, I'm the son of the King. I'm not a sinner, I'm the saved. I'm saved into this family. And now I walk as a son. I walk as somebody whose words have authority. Because I speak the words of my Father like Jesus spoke the words of his Father. I walk with authority. Not in an arrogant way, but I walk humbly with authority as he did. I walk as a servant king, as he did. That's who I am. And when we reflect on this story of Joseph, many, many years before Jesus came to earth, Joseph was living that life. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for this story of Joseph. We want to thank you for the depth of relationship he had with you. And Father, as we reflect on the depth of relationship, we just say, we long to go deeper with you, to know you more and know more of you. We long for your Holy Spirit to move in power amongst us. We long to know Jesus in us, the hope of glory, more and more. We thank you that we are the forgiven. We thank you for that we are in your family. May we learn even more of what that means and to be able to apply it into our lives, and so you are glorified in and through our lives. We ask for this. And we just also, I just want to pray this blessing over you just as we finish. This is the priesthood blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, Mount Chapel. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you at Mount Chapel and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you shalom. In the name of Jesus. Amen.